This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, right? Amen. Because there's so much what God's doing. It's hard to keep up with God sometimes. Well, all the time it is, because He's much higher level, much more powerful, beyond what we can ever ask or think. So, okay. Pastor Rick decided to give me this text because the challenges presented in it, and he's leaving now, looks like. No, he's... You can't leave, Pastor. Because this is an interesting text that a lot of pastors, theologians, and those smart people, academic, you know, they like to dissect and analyze. They're not sure what to make of this, but I guess it's just, as I get older, getting more simple, well, it's just look at the Word of God and just, what does it say? Because when you're writing an article, maybe a newspaper article or just an article for school or whatever, what are the things you ask? Who, what, when, where, why, right? And how? Well, yes, the how. Thank you, because that's very important here. Because the question here is not so much what is this saying. There's really not much to dissect and analyze and go over and over and give illustrations to try to better explain it. Oh, it's right there, right? I mean, it's not for discussion. It's not like unclear. Like, oh, I wonder what he means by that. So, and this is part of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus had assembled all these people. And in one gospel, it talks about being on a plain. Other talks about a mountain. Well, if you've got a mountain which is called a mesa, which has a plateau on the top of the mountain, it can be both, right? It's not a mistake in God's word between one evangelist and the other. It's ridiculous. So Jesus is on this mesa, on this mount, giving this sermon that's been talked about, written about, analyzed, scrutinized, on and on and on. And so let's dig into it, because we'll get into it a little bit later. So seeing the crowds, he went up on a mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. So he sees the crowds, and he goes up on this mountain, and he sits down with his disciples come to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Now, some of us have problems with our mouths. We open our mouth and insert foot, right? Jesus is always ready to speak the words of his Father all the time. Everybody, a lot of people are giggling on that comment there. Is that an issue? Do we need to talk about this maybe? A whole sermon on this? That's for another time. Okay, I guess so. Hit something there. Wow. Okay, so anyway, Jesus opened his mouth, and he never had to say, oh, I'm sorry, did I say that? If he was angry, he expressed the anger in a very appropriate way. If he was sad, he cried and said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a man, I'm God, I shouldn't be crying. He just was always very authentic and very transparent and very real, right? And always showing and reflecting his Father in everything he said, everything he did. So he opens his mouth, and it says he taught them. Now, I dug out some old commentaries here. I've got O.P. Kretzmann. Who's the last person you've met named O.P.? That goes back a little bit. I think the early 1900s, late 1800s, that he was in the Missouri Synod, a famous theologian and president of one of the Christian colleges, and kind of said, well, what does he have to say about this? And I was reminded that I dug open this and preached on this years and years ago in Winchester, Illinois, in a little country church, a first parish. But anyway, last Sunday, Pastor Rick talked about in Matthew 4 that Jesus did three things in his ministry: preaching and teaching and healing, right? And I kept thinking about it all this week. I go, why did the seminary decide just to teach me two out of three? And say, well, healing, that doesn't really happen anymore, so don't worry about that. Just do a little perfunctory, little ritualistic prayer for healing, if it be thy will, and just leave it at that. But that's not what the power is it? And Jesus had powerful healing ministry, and we prayed for some people last Sunday, and we continue to believe that God will continue to heal, right? But anyway, O.P. Kretzmann said, well, it says that Jesus taught. He was not preaching, and he was not doing evangelism here. He was not being an evangelist, he wasn't being a preacher. He was teaching, and he opened his mouth and taught. And it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm getting some background here, Daryl. I don't know if anybody can... I'm getting feedback back here. You hear that? I don't know if we can change the volume or if I need to do anything, but anyway. In this section of Scripture, it's about God's kingdom. We talked about that last week, okay? And what I'm going to do is not just talk about the what, but other things are the questions of how and why, because those are the real important questions. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Our world is so upside down and messed up, right? And Christianity and God's kingdom, which we've been focusing a lot on in Matthew, and even before that, it's all about the kingdom of God, God's rule. And God's ways, are they like our ways? It's opposite. It's getting more and more opposite in our world, isn't it? It's just so incredible. Alpha, which is a wonderful program that started in England, looking at all the dead churches in England. Dumble, yeah. He talked about the fact that there needs to be an awakening in England. And so he had these dinners. Nicky Gumbel, I knew it, yes. And it was amazing. And what they're finding out now is that maybe 30% of so-called believers claim to even have just a faint knowledge. And it's going farther and farther away from God. And so what they're finding out is one way to reach people is show true Christianity, love, and love people in extravagant, generous, noteworthy ways. Where it's so obvious that it has to be God, where it's the light against the darkness and not railing at the darkness, cursing at the darkness, but rather lighting up the world around them, where people have to take notice. And it's so fun being with people who've recently fallen in love with Jesus, isn't it? Because they're so full of Jesus, and they're just letting their light shine, and that love and that light are just all over the place, and people can't help but notice. So having said that, these are principles of God's kingdom, and what I'm calling an upside-down Christianity. One of my favorite desserts is upside down cake. Pineapple upside down cake. Oh my goodness. I just thought of that. Oh, that sounds really good. Speaking of upside down. I was going to call this message radical Christianity, but we have radical Islam and the whole thing of radical. People understand that. But the word radical comes from the word radish, which means root. If you have something radical, it's completely different from the roots all the way up, and it's totally different. And Christianity is supposed to be radical in the sense that it's so opposite of the world. And we should stand out in a positive way with the light against the darkness. And the light isn't as noteworthy unless it's contrasted with the darkness all around, right? But if it's all bright outside, you don't really need lights on. But like when we had our Christmas Eve service during the day, we had to darken the light out here so we could have our candles and they could really shine and we'd enjoy it. When we are put in dark places and God puts us there in the kingdom of darkness with our kingdom of light, Jesus' light, not our light, it makes us shine out all the more, right? If we all just kind of, well, we just spent our whole time together at church and had our songs and didn't go out in the world, would that be what God wanted? No. So this is showing Christianity with shoes on, boots on, getting out in the world and really making a difference in living the faith, right? I'm just talking about it. This is not talk. This is not talk. And so a lot of pastors say, well, we don't want to talk about this because it's so beyond what we can do on our own. That's the whole point. O.P. Kretzmann says that this is law reminding us how far we've come from God and our sinfulness, that He is so perfect, so loving, so awesome, so righteous, so holy, and we're so we're not righteous, not holy, not really. We think, oh, we're good, that person's a good person, and we have some goodness in us and all that. But ultimately, we have this sinful nature that it's in all of us, right? Even when we try to do the right thing, it can be tainted. We say the wrong thing, we do the wrong thing, or we don't do what we're supposed to do. And this is showing us a standard because God says, be you therefore perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus said that and the Father said that. So some people look at this and go, well, I'm not even going to bother. I'm so far from that. That ideal standard is so up there as an ideal, I can't even try don't even try. That's not the point. Christianity and the kingdom of God is so out of this world, there should be such a difference between the church and the world that it stands out with unique behaviors that only Christians do because only God can allow you to do it. The how is this. We can't do this. We can't do these things we're going to talk about. It's Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit in us, and it's God's grace in us. Nobody can be like this. So it's showing us what God calls us to be, a higher level of living that's in the kingdom. We pray in the Lord's Prayer where we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we want to pull down what's in heaven, bring it down to earth. right? And it's all about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not just in heaven, it's here. The kingdom is here. So this is so different than church or religiosity. So he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The world says, blessed are the rich. Happy are the rich. What is the Bible? God says, nah. No. Happy or blessed are the poor. Those who know they need help. Those who know that they can't go up to God and say, well, here, let me just pay my way here. What can I give you? God says, no. Keep your money. Keep your good works. You can't pay this. I have to give this to you. And here it is. Total free forgiveness. So we have, Absolutely. Then the gratefulness comes and we realize and we contrast it with who we are, with who God is. So there's a big, big divide between God and us, right? And this is trying to point that out. So we say like that sinner of the temple, God, be merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. So that no one can come and go, oh, I matched up pretty good there. I did this, I did that, I did this. And that's the Pharisees. That's the self-righteous hypocrite to do that. So we have this sense of poverty in spirit that, oh my goodness, my credit report ain't so good, spiritually speaking. Oh, man. And it gets so overwhelming. Sometimes people are in debt. They go, I don't know how I'm going to get out. And that's where the thing is spiritually. We should be so overwhelmed in the sense of our sinfulness that we go, I can't get out. I've fallen deeply and I can't get up. So the whole point is that this leads us to Jesus, our Savior. Otherwise, we go, oh, Jesus, yeah, that's nice. You died on the cross. That's okay. No, it's more than okay, right? That he's our only way. He's our only hope because this world's so messed up, it's only Jesus that can save us and rescue us. Amen? So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not the rich and mighty coming in with all that, and well, I do this. And I remember one church, they had plaques everywhere, but people donated stuff in this fancy church. This is donated by so-and-so. It was like it took over the place. Nothing to God. All these different golden plaques all over the place. And there must have been probably 10 of them all over the campus. Like, wait a minute, it's not for our glory. Right? It's for God's glory. And we're poor in spirit, and because of that, ours is the kingdom of heaven. How do we get to heaven? It's a free gift, right? Grace is a free gift, undeserved. Nobody who has grace says, I deserve that. No, you don't. I don't. I sure don't. It's God's undeserved favor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if you beat yourself up a lot, and some of you really beat yourselves up a lot, I didn't do this right, I didn't do that right. Well, just keep leaning on Jesus. He's our Savior. He is our righteousness. We aren't, because my righteousness, according to this scripture, it doesn't match anywhere close to what Jesus is like, with God and the Holy Spirit, how holy they are, right? So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So these opposites, these contrasting ideas, blessed are those who mourn, for they're the ones to be comforted. Now, this means we can't be joyful. No, we're a joyful group here, right? But there does come a point in time where we mourn over our sins, over our shortcomings and our failures. We don't say, well, I'm okay, you're okay. Everything's fine. Everything's like, no, it's not fine. And with Ash Wednesday, what's the whole idea of Ash Wednesday? Remind us that we are of dust, and to dust we will return, that we need a Savior. We go through the stages of the cross this Wednesday to remind us all that he did and how much we need it. We really need this. We're desperate for him. And if people aren't desperate for God, it's like a take it or leave it Christianity. This is not a take it or leave it Christianity, sort of ho-hum, lukewarm Christianity. Either you're in or you're out, right? And if we're in, it will show itself that this kingdom of God is amazing. So blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We come to Jesus with our sins. Does he say, oh, get out of here. You've already confessed that before. No, I don't have time for you. Some parents are that way, but is God our Heavenly Father that way? No. As we come to repentance, as we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Jesus loves sinners. He says, come, sinners. We sing about that. Come, sinners. So if you feel like you don't deserve to be here, well, join the club. I don't either. You know? We don't come in going, oh, well, yes, I fit in really well here with God. And no, we come in humbly, and we mourn for our sins. But then we receive the joy of our salvation, right? Think, oh, thank God, that debt's been paid by someone else. I don't have to live in that whole thing of being in debt spiritually for the rest of my life. Amen. Blessed, and here's another opposite. Blessed are the meek, For they shall inherit the earth. You look at athletes and movie stars and musicians, those that are, have it all, supposedly, who think they're all that, who feel like the world should bow before them. And what gets me, some of these high school athletes have these national letters of intent day, and they make this big press conference on ESPN. They haven't done anything yet. Make this big deal about these kids, and we're setting these kids up for failure. Maybe not in sports, but in life. Because what is the message? It's all about you. Oh, we're going to placate you. We're going to spoil you. And one guy was on ESPN talking about the fact that that is ridiculous, what we've done to our athletes. It's not a team sport, college basketball. It's one and done. Get out. And this, I didn't want to talk about sports, but it's an example of, oh, it's all about me. And contrast that with last week's Super Bowl with the two quarterbacks of the Philadelphia Eagles. Can't believe I'm saying Philadelphia. Two humble Christians that are very humble, especially Nick Foles, winning it all and giving glory to who? To Jesus Christ and his coach too. And then when the running backs talked about, yeah, there's a lot of Christians in all town, of all towns, especially Philadelphia. And it's amazing how they have become salt and light in a very interesting environment in Philadelphia. Well, I'm sure they did. I wondered about that. Of course, you know. And they don't get it. And I think it was Marvin Harris, there's an announcer on NBC, that even asked us, so he was leaving and says, well, is faith important to your team? And opened, oh, yes, absolutely. And they all got criticized, but that's Christianity. In whatever world we're in, whatever environment we're in, we should bring that salt and light we'll talk about next week, Pastor Rick will. But that's the kingdom, right? Blessed are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Does that mean, well, we're going to be rich and famous? No. But it means, think of all that God gives us. Luther wrote, I believe that God has made me and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them. Also, clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house, home, wife, field, cattle, goods, all my goods. And he richly and daily provides with all that I need to support this body and life, so it is my duty to thank and to praise, to serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. That's what our Father does for us all the time. Think that all that he gives us over and over and over and over, that's where we inherit the earth. Also, you think of the behaviors of a Christian. If we're not drinking, will we have to worry about addiction? If we're not taking drugs, do we have to worry about our bodies, you know, wearing out? No. The health, it's a very healthy lifestyle to live for Christ. There are benefits in this world as well as the world to come, right? So blessed are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's not about us. And people are so full of pride, they really don't have a good self-image, right? It's that they're trying to prove themselves all the time. Do we have to prove ourselves? Are we important to God? Absolutely. God loves us beyond what we can imagine. We are very important to him. He loves us with an everlasting love. So blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Again, an opposite. Those that are hungry will be satisfied. How hungry are we for God's Word? How thirsty are we for the Holy Spirit, that living water to refresh us? There's nothing like God's presence, right? Absolutely. Again, part of the kingdom. Again, these aren't things we have to really spend a long time analyzing, explaining. Again, it's not the what, it's the how. And only God and only Jesus can help us do these things. Blessed are the merciful. What happens? It comes back to them. They shall receive mercy. The Bible talks a lot about people who've blown it big time, how God forgives them, and that they're called in to forgive other people and give mercy to other people. And we are called to do that. In the Bible, talks about this one parable. This guy owed millions of dollars, and he couldn't pay it. And he went to the person and said, I can't pay this. He said, I'll forgive you all of it. And then this person had been forgiven all that. Someone owed them like about $15. And he said, grabbed him by the neck and said, pay me right now, pay me right now. And he wouldn't forgive this other person, even though he'd been forgiven so much. And then the owner, who had all that, who gave him everything, found out about this and said, look, you need to forgive others. So do we give mercy to other people, or do we harshly judge them? Say, well, look at that person. Obviously, they don't have it all together. They got some problems. Like, we don't, right? Like, we don't have any problems. It's so easy to look at someone else, though, right? And then the family or whatever, and say, well, look at that person. So we are called to be merciful, and then we receive mercy. If our heart has mercy, it comes back to us. Somebody wrote a book called Christian Karma, and they talk about the idea of karma, which is not in the Bible, but the idea that you reap what you sow is, that what you put out there comes back to you and multiplies as part of the principles of the kingdom. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There was a church that started on 43rd Avenue called Pure Heart. I thought, that's a neat name for a church, isn't it? Because they really wanted to have, they got tired of all the church shenanigans going on, said, we want to have a pure church with people with pure hearts. Now, do we have pure hearts on our own? No. Create in me a clean heart, O God, David prayed. He's the one. Jesus covers us. He purifies us. And we don't have pure hearts. But in Jesus we do, and then we will see God. Can you imagine in heaven, seeing God in all his unapproachable light? Wow. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The world, does the world highly value peacemakers? No, it's grab all you can. Look out for number one, because nobody else is going to look out for you. So if you become this peacemaker, you're going to be trampled on. What does God say? No, they'll be called children of God. Some people say, well, I this is the way I am, and if people don't like it, too bad. I just tell them what I think. Well, be careful there. Remember in Daniel in the Bible, he would speak with tact with the king, and many times he would speak with wisdom and tact to get the hearing of the king and get his point across. There is a time where we're straight out. This is the word of the Lord for sure. But there are times we need to be the peacemaker, not troublemakers, right? Always, some people, do you notice that wherever they go, there's trouble follows behind them? There's discord. They take offense very easily. And they're always like they're mad at somebody. If they're okay with this person that's over here. And it's always somebody that they're upset with, and they gotta straighten them out. And it's awful in our church when you have that conflict. And thank God we don't have that here. It's such a blessing. They stir things up. And Satan loves that, right? But God says, blessed are the peacemakers. So be a peacemaker. Blessed are those, here's another opposite. The world doesn't say this. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We're blessed if people persecute us? What? How's that? Well, it's because the darkness all around us shows that's a different kingdom, right? And if we're in the light and there's darkness, there's going to be this clash all the time. And if we're so much like the world, they can't tell the difference. That's not good. But if there's such a difference that people persecute us because of our faith, because it makes them feel uncomfortable and they feel like, well, I'm not like that person, or they're upset, or whatever reason, that shows we're on the right side, right? Amen. So blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you. Now, is this what the world says? Oh, people make fun of you, revile you, persecute you, utter all kinds of evil against you, whether it be Facebook or social media, isn't that fun? Or whatever, or people are saying bad things about us, and it's not true, would the world say, oh, that's great, that's wonderful. No, they'd have, well, you need a PR consultant because your image isn't very good there, pastor, our church. You need to have a PR makeover. You have to have a total makeover because it's not good. Well, you think of the prophets in the Old Testament, and Jeremiah, what that poor guy went through, and Moses, he couldn't win. Somebody's complaining about Moses' leadership. He didn't do this right. So we don't have enough to eat. Okay, here's manna. And we want some meat. Here's quail. I'm tired of quail. I want something else. I want something different. Tired of this. So then they were in slavery, but at least they had more fruits and vegetables. God frees them. So we missed Egypt because at least we had better food than out here. Oh, my goodness. They could never be happy. And some people that way, no matter what you do, they're never happy, never satisfied. But isn't it wonderful being around people who are content and grateful for what they have? You think of people from Africa who have nothing compared to what we have, in Haiti, and yet they have everything because they have the joy of the Lord. And they just radiate that joy and that trust that God's going to be with them. It's so awesome being around those people. You know, it really, really is. A servant's heart, yes. So people revile us, utter all kinds of evil falsely against us. You think about the Christians, the talk about Christians. Oh, they're cannibals. They eat flesh and drink blood in the services. And they want to destroy the empire, Roman Empire, and they want to become king. And their Jesus, he may take over the world and all this kind of stuff that was just not right. But what does it say? Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecute the prophets who were before you. So we talked about the what, right there, right? And the who, it's us. Not to, oh, this is just for pastors and certain people. No, this is for all of us. The name Christian, no, this isn't like a different level of religiosity for certain people. And the question of where is wherever we go, not just in church, right? Get out in the world and do it. Now the question is how? How am I supposed to live like that? Can you live that way? I can't live that way on my own, right? The Holy Spirit, right? Only Jesus' power can do that. We don't have the power to do that. And it's part of the kingdom principles. In closing, I wanted to talk about the principles of the kingdom. I think it was in Bible class last Sunday. I talked about a book by two Lutheran pastors that are brothers that serve a church in El Cajon, California. And they talk about breakthrough kingdom living. And it talks about different principles of God's kingdom that a lot of times aren't being taught. Excuse me. It talks about the key of thanksgiving and praise. The more we praise God, the more God comes to us. The Bible talks about God inhabits the praises of the people. So the more we're thankful, the more we're praising God, the more joy comes to us, right? The more we're focusing on our problems, the less of God's presence comes. The kingdom of a hidden life with God. Just that little time, that 15 minutes or 30 minutes a day, makes all the difference in the world. Or if you can't even do that, just a little bit of time with God every day makes a difference. There was a church billboard out on Greenway. It says, daily devotions are much more important than yearly resolutions. People in New Year's give you resolutions, but just that little time every day makes a big difference. And in Christian music, it changes your attitude. Yeah, it just makes a big difference. It's that hidden life with God that's not seen by people that makes a huge difference in the way we treat people, or our attitude's better. People said that when they go listen to Christian music more, or they come to church, their attitude's better. They miss church, they go, wow, I was a grouch all week. It's because I miss church, you know, we miss it, right? Amen, we miss it, right? Another kingdom principle is overcoming faith. Trusting in God and putting trust in a God that specializes in the impossible. Another is true repentance. Repentance isn't just turning away from sin, it's certainly that, but it's turning toward God and His light and His righteousness. It's turning not just away, but to someone who is so magnificent that when we come closer to His light, it can't help but reflect all over us. And thanks be to God when we see people who really change reflect that light. That's part of the kingdom. The kingdom of diligence, of perseverance. If we keep planting that seed over and over, keep moving. If we lose our movement, and I've noticed with the people, they quit serving God and they pull back, they pull back, they pull back, they pull back, to the point they're not doing anything anymore. And so we are called to keep active in the kingdom. Another principle, the immutable law of sowing and reaping. You harvest what you sow. If you don't plant a lot of seeds, are you going to have a great harvest? No, you're guaranteed you won't. But you plant those seeds, and you put that little seed in the ground, and then eventually, not right away, but eventually there's a harvest. Right? And in the same way spiritually, the more seeds we plant, the more harvest we'll have. And we can't outgive God either. The kingdom, the key of giving. The more we give, the more God gets back to us. And we don't do that to get more, but it takes away the fear of giving. We don't have to be afraid. Well, if I give this, I don't know who's going to take care of me. Come on. We know who's going to take care of us. His providence is there. The kingdom of unity and agreement. When you have a group of people agreeing on one purpose, there's a lot of energy there, right? It's called concordia. It's called, why is it churches named Peace Lutheran or not peaceful? And a lot of churches called concordia don't have much concord or harmony. I don't understand that. But anyway, when you have people coming together like here, all on the same page in our council, isn't it awesome? I mean, with Cindy and all of you in the council, we get together and it's not like, oh, whose agenda? Oh, what's Cindy going to bring now to the table? Who knows what she's going to do now? Oh, boy. You know, or Paula or whoever, or Chris. What's Chris going to want, you know? We all come together. It's not what we want. It's what God's doing, and what can we do to serve Him? So that's another kingdom principle. The kingdom, the key of vision. If we have a sense of a big picture, it's so different. And we talk about this at Touchstone. We're looking down on our family. 10 want to see our kids relating and acting financially, vocationally, relationally. Where do you want to go? Otherwise, if we don't have a vision, we're just all over the place, right? If we have a vision that captures our heart and really makes our heart beat faster, this is my vision, and if we keep that vision alive, then we have a sense of direction. Another is submission. the principle of delegated authority, that as we submit to others and we have that servant's heart, it comes back to us. It's just amazing. But when we try to look for our own interests, they usually don't come. They come the wrong way. But if we don't look out for ourselves, look out for others, right? When we go to the jail, we get blessed. When we have a healing service, we're praying for healing, we get healed, we get blessed. It's amazing. The boomerang effect of God's kingdom comes back all the time, over and over and over. And so that's just part of this inner transformation of the kingdom of God that you're going to hear a lot in Matthew. And in closing, I was going to allude to it last Sunday about the difference when the kingdom, and Pastor talked about when people go out and they share the gospel, what happens. Well, this lady has been taking care of my dad and my mom and now helping with the state. Her name's Betty Ann Horn, and she's like a saint. She's taking care of my folks while I've been here. She's helping with the affairs. I give her total authority, power of attorney. She's very faithful. She gives me all my statements. We go through every little expenditure to the penny. And people in town just, they talk about it like she's Mother Teresa, all the things she wants to do for people. And she does all this for the glory of God. Well, she found a book that's entitled The One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. I think I alluded to that last week. The one thing we can't do in heaven is not cuss. Somebody said, no, it's not that. We can't witness to people. We can't bring people to Christ in heaven, right? We got to do that now. And this book is so amazing. It talks about how to witness. And she said, you know, for all these years, no one taught me in Lutheran Church how to witness. And so now she's so excited because the guy presents the gospel in such a powerful way and how to share that with others. She bought 80 books. And she's passing out these books to the mailman, to my cousins, my relatives. Anybody, she's got a name and address, gets this book. Christine and Jeremy got a book. I got 5 of them pass out. In fact, she says, if I want more, she'll send some more to her whole church. And she just does that. That's her way of letting the kingdom of God be demonstrated. It's so cool. It's about the one thing you can't do in heaven. I've got 2 copies in my car. I'll bring the Bible to you. She will. Okay. I mean, it's like hundreds of books. This guy's going, they're probably their office going, who's this lady from Mount Pulaski, Illinois? But she wants to make a difference, and she is. And these people in this little tiny town are going, who is this? And my lawyer talked to me and says, how did you find this lady? You know? But she just wants to let her light shine. She raises horses, and she goes to horse shows. So wherever she goes in a horse show, she gives witness to Christ. And she has on her back of her horse trailer the cowboy kneeling at the manger, I think, or something like that. And she's always giving glory to God because it's the kingdom. So what are you doing? What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake, for the kingdom of heaven? You know, what are we doing? This is not just, okay, well, we're just to go to our church. It's a whole lot more than going to church. And when we think about all of what God's doing, and Sharon, good to see you back. How are things in Mexico, by the way? She goes to Mexico, and she's a missionary to Mexico. Amazing. Yes. And she's through sowing and witnessing and helping other people, and that gives you a lot of joy, doesn't it? I mean, just look at her. She's beaming. It's so cool. We could go through all of you and talk about how you're letting the kingdom, the light of Jesus, shine through you. And so this is just an encouragement that let's keep doing this upside-down Christianity and show people what it really means to be a Christian, because they have no clue. They have no clue. And let the light of Jesus, because you're talking about the light next Sunday, let that light keep shining, right? And to God's glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.